It's now time for Mike Adams 2.0 on ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. Mike will get you into the ring with the latest boxing and MMA info, the Lobos, and much more. Now. Here's Mike Adams 2.0.
Good morning, sports fans. Mike Adams 2.0. ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team. I thought we already had a Windy City. It was called Chicago. But we're in the Windy City of Albuquerque, Micah, and there's something that everybody's been asking. Do you have allergies? Yes, the whole town has allergies.
My face is so itchy. Can someone help me?
How many Windy Cities can there be? I thought only Chicago was dubbed the Windy City.
Have you ever been to Winslow, Arizona? I swear that canyon, it just gusts right through, Mike. I'm trying to play disc golf by the bay. I'm too scared. It's just a gust.
I'm just going to tell you this. If you have a gust of wind, put your hands over your face. See how I just did it, Micah? There was no wind, but I put my hands over my face.
And not to mention, like you just said, the Augusta winds. We all know about that. We see those every year. Those can mess up your whole game.
I feel winded.
Take a deep breath.
Thank you, Micah. It's fact or fiction early. I know you're ready to go, so let's go.
That is a fact. And is it a fact or is it a fiction? Canelo's performance was up to expectation.
Fact. And I'll tell you what, it exceeded expectation. The hype of Munguia. Give De La Hoya credit for hyping that fight. And Munguia looked good for what, the first three rounds?
He looked good in moments. I even thought later in the middle of the fight, he had his moments. He was able to match shot for shot at points, but not with the longevity of the power of Canelo.
The fight I want to see? Terrence Bud Crawford, Canelo Alvarez.
Fact or fiction? There was more anticipation, though, to see Canelo fight Oscar than there was for Canelo to fight Munguia by the time they entered the ring.
That's a fact, and that's called pay-per-view sales. That's called economic development. That's trying to entice you last minute. I gotta buy this pay-per-view. Didn't you see the press conference? I like Jaime Munguia. I can see big things for him in the future, and I do want to add this. It almost reminded me of when Canelo decided to fight Mayweather. He just wasn't there yet. And now Munguia got that same chance against Canelo, and he just wasn't there yet. But I think Munguia, keep his name on your radar, because I think he does big things.
I think he was a hand-picked opponent. I think that he only had a couple fights in the weight class, and I think that it was the opposite almost, that the hype was so much to see if Canelo was going to fight the manager that you didn't have the opportunity to buy the pay-per-view. You thought, maybe I should just watch the press conference post-fight. Maybe I should wait to see if they announce that blockbuster for the present. If we get this one in the future. If you think, well, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson, it's happening. So why couldn't Canelo fight Oscar? I think that the heat was turned up, but it was turned in the wrong direction. I'm glad to hear that Mike is telling me from a real boxing perspective that that was fiction.
Real one more thing on the real, okay, on the fact. Is this. You can't compare Paul against Tyson to De La Hoya Canelo. I'll tell you why.
Because De La Hoya's a real boxer?
Fair enough.
And Canelo's a real boxer. But it would really sell a lot of pay-per-views.
Agreed.
Fact or fiction, you can't point at Benavidez, talk about Benavidez, and then go and fight Crawford.
Crawford's more money. That's why I think I go that route with Terrence Bud Crawford. With Benavidez, set that up for next Cinco de Mayo. And I think then you're going to do record-breaking numbers. Benavidez, if he can get a win over Dimitri Bivol, over somebody of that caliber, Micah, this could sell 2 million, 2.5 million if Canelo fought Benavidez next Cinco de Mayo.
Benavidez teaming on pay-per-view with Tank Davis at 175. Better Biev just had to pull out due to an injury.
This
is there bigger fish to fry for Benavidez at 175, Bivol and Better Biev, if Sheik Alhani,
yep.
If he offers it, is that a bigger fight than the Canelo fight?
Right now it is. That's a great fight for him. Make your money. If you beat Bivol, Bivol beat Canelo, Now we have the discussions to really up the pay-per-views.
Well, now we had the WBC mandatory discussion. I believe we have another challenger in the WBA, an unheralded man in the dark. Now, who is his name, Mike?
Well, it's not only who's his name, right? It's I don't think he's unheralded either. Is he?
You haven't even said the name, Mike.
Well, I'm not ready to.
See, there's a guy out there.
I know who you're talking about. Just say it.
Just say it, Mike.
I can't.
Okay. Well, then he doesn't have a big enough presence in the conversation. But there are real threats at 168 that Canelo Alvarez has circled around. Not shark circled around, but kind of circled like we have the new circles here in Albuquerque. So you just kind of bypass the traffic. That's what Canelo did. And he picked Munguia. This is why I don't know if the performance lived up to expectations.
Well, this is what you have to understand, Micah. It's a guaranteed lottery ticket. We talk about this. He can call whoever he wants. Whoever he calls next, they should just say, thank you, sir. Where are we fighting at? Right? So I get what you're saying, but what do they bring to the table? So when you're telling me these names, what do they bring to the table?
Not enough to entice Canelo. We're all looking for that big fight. Benavidez
is the only name there. That's the only name. He's already fought all the rest of them. He fought Kovalev, beat him. Fought Bivol, lost. Right?
Right. I really can't find the name. David Mundell. Yeah. Mundell Jr.?
At the end of the day, Micah, Canelo's Canelo. Continue.
Fact or fiction? Pantoja can become an all-time great. He'll have that kind of legacy with his flyweight title reign.
Yes, that's a fact, Mike.
The Brazilian has shown heart, he has shown tenacity, and he's showing those veteran instincts. It's not the same way as Canelo because it's a different sport, but he's able to get decisions and steal those last-minute rounds. He's able to edge him out, and that's something that experience does for you.
Veteran instincts is the key word, Micah.
Aldo should get to skip the line for a title shot at 135 after his performance.
I'd say fact. I mean, he's done enough. He's a legend. Why wouldn't you?
There's an opportunity. He's a free agent. So fact or fiction, does Jose Aldo leave the UFC? I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think he's loyal to the organization, number one. And I'm sure his management team's talking about, hey, if we stay, it might not be a title like his next fight, but they probably put, hey, you win your next one, we'll give you the shot.
Sean O'Malley is a big fight. If you wanted to go the way of talking to the PFL about Patchy Mix, that's a big fight because who knows if Saudi Arabia is trying to up that ante to make the PFL a more prominent sport, even though the UFC will be making their debut there soon. If you're Jose Aldo, do you maybe try to talk to Top Rank and see about Robson Conceição? Mike, do you think that could be the biggest Brazilian boxing match ever?
I don't think so, Mike. I don't know what would be the biggest Brazilian boxing match ever. I'd have to look up who's fought in Brazil to see who, if there's even been a gigantic Brazilian boxer.
Conceição with his Olympic pedigree, Aldo, former world champion. I think that might be a conversation to be had. I don't know if it's a fight that comes true. Or what about taking Jose Aldo over to bare knuckle?
I like that idea.
That could be a big one. Their 135-pound champion, Keith Richardson, about to defend his title in June. He's already 4-0 in the promotion, and that's the kind of big name to take the eyes to a next level and add another star to the resume besides just Mike Perry.
But don't forget, Micah, it was Conor McGregor who knocked him out with, what, a left hook?
It was a left hook that Jose Aldo ran into, and since that moment, he hasn't been knocked out with one punch again.
So let me tell you, I had to find this, Micah, because sometimes you try to... Eder Joffrey is the greatest Brazilian boxer of all time. So can this kid who you're talking about, who's tougher than nails, and everybody's talking about him, Robson Conceição, is that how you say that?
Conceição, I believe, is how I've heard it up from Top Rank.
He's big, but will he ever be the biggest Brazilian boxer? I don't know. So I don't want to say fact to that.
See, I don't know. I'm thinking outside of the box. If you're Aldo and you're looking at your options, there's really four big names out there in the combat sports world as far as promotions. And with a 2-0-1 boxing record, that UFC championship pedigree, why not search out every option possible? Fact or fiction, Inoue has transcendent power.
Oh, my goodness. And he got knocked down by Neri. What a great fight.
Tested. First time in his career, on the mat, off the mat.
And I'll tell you this, Micah. I really enjoyed that fight. If you haven't seen Inoue fight yet, you have to. Now, I ask you this. Some people have him number one pound for pound. Not me. To me, it's still Bud Crawford. Bud Crawford, pound for pound, number one. Is Inoue your number one pound for pound?
I think I'd have to have him at number two. You know, I'm a little harder on the boxing than you are. It's almost being a prisoner of the moment, and not to mention you have guys like the Charlos. You don't know who's actually on vacation and who's being active at the moment. But yeah, it feels like you would go Canelo, Inoue,
Usyk.
Usyk would be number four for me. I don't even know who I would put at five. That's why I started at three, going all the way up to Bud Crawford at one. Who would you have at that fifth spot?
I might put Tank there.
Tank Davis, that's a good one. His power, what we've seen, not just that he's powerful, but that he has so many traps and setups to be able to line you up for that power.
And I still have this is just me. I still have Tyson Fury in my top 10. That's not six, but he'd be in my top 10. And then when you talk about four division champions, there's been a lot of them lately, correct?
We've had a few. We got a couple guys walking around with enough belts to load up armor.
And that's the thing, Micah. It's always hard. But in a way, you got to put there, for me, Usyk's up there for me. I would even put, give or take, Shakur Stevenson at 10.
That's a good one because we would like to see him prove it, but there's nobody that wants to test him to make him prove it.
Word on the street is Lomachenko Shakur, they're trying to make it right now.
Well, we're about to talk about Lomachenko, so we'll get to him in a moment.
Keep going.
Fact or fiction, Inoue has found his most challenging weight class and shouldn't move up anymore.
Yeah, don't move up anymore. Neri had a little bit of power on him, but if you get to 30... I mean, it could get tough, Mike. The only guy who I've ever seen do this, what he's doing, is Manny Pacquiao.
Is there a name at 30 that would be tempting enough to be a super fight?
I don't think there's a super fight at 130.
So do you think there's enough at 126 to keep him there, or the weight is challenging enough that that is just where he should stay?
Yeah, and I don't know. How old is he? Do you know off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. I'm believing in his 20s, though, still.
Yeah, and the thing is, Micah, he's the only one who's going to know that. Remember, Manny Pacquiao won his first title at 108 pounds, or 106, whatever it was at the time. And he went on to win the 147-pound belt. Go ahead.
My bad, 31 years old.
Yeah, so it just depends if, you know, at 31, I'm going to guess it's easier to make 130 than 126.
At 31, though, with seeing how he's moved up from, I believe, 103 was where he started. Maybe 126 is just what he walks around at. You naturally shrink down to through weight camp. Maybe 130 happens. It's a shame that Shakur has moved up so fast, so quickly. I don't know if Oscar Valdez is really a big enough name to make that fight prominent.
I think Oscar Valdez is big enough. I really do, Mike.
Well, hopefully that's one to see. That would be a really fun stylistic matchup. We know Valdez with that big left hook always in there, willing to take power shots. That would be a challenge.
And there's still Ray Vargas in the 126-pound division. Emmanuel Navarrete would be enticing at 130. That's it. I think if he does what Manny Pacquiao did, then in a way could be one of the greatest of all time.
You feel he's on that trajectory with how he's performing?
Yeah, could be. Especially after getting up off the canvas and then winning like he did.
First time we've had a fight in the Tokyo Dome since when, Mike?
Mike Tyson?
Exactly. What does that mean about the star power of Inoue? 40,000 people, Tokyo Dome, first time since Tyson.
It tells you he's pretty big time. Tyson lost to Buster Douglas, I believe. Was it in the Tokyo Dome?
In the Tokyo Dome. Yeah. You are right.
Man, Micah. Trivia 101.
Home field advantage, Factor Fiction, gives Kambusa the edge this weekend over Lomachenko. They're doing it in Australia.
Yeah, I know. And I'm a big Kambusa's fan. But Lomachenko's due. Like, Lomachenko's had some tough losses, right? Teofimo Lopez, Devin Haney.
135 for Lomachenko is 126 for Inoue. He can still perform, but he's now such a technician that the power makes a difference because of how it looks when it lands on him.
Yeah, I think Kambusis would be too much. But is Lomachenko due? He's due, Micah.
He's due. And if we're going to get one of those big fights, if we're going to get that Shakur fight, I think he needs to get the job done here. So that makes me hopeful because I'm just not as excited about Shakur versus Kambusa. It just doesn't hit me the same way, does it for you?
No, and Lomachenko's pedigree and you know, the two-time Olympic gold medalist, three-time maybe, and all those. He won his first pro belt in his second or third fight. I mean, Lomachenko story is just, you don't want to hear it, yeah.
To find a documentary about that one is something, guys. Tonight, we also got UFC Fight Night. They're in St. Louis. If Derek Lewis doesn't win in the first round, he's probably not winning the fight.
I agree. Fact.
He's a big-time knockout artist. But, guys, we got to see the motivation. We have to see how focused he is on this. If he loses the focus, look for Rodrigo Nascimento to make it a long night for Lewis. Joaquin Buckley, though, in the co-main event, this could be a breakout moment for him in his hometown.
Not just a breakout moment. This could be the moment. See, when you fight in front of your hometown, Micah, it's almost like they expect you to win. That's a tough fight. Anybody who fights in their hometown, they expect you to win.
Coming down from 185 to 173 fight win streak, absolutely destroyed Vicente Luque to get into the rankings. He's not taking on a ranked foe, but if his popularity skyrockets, could be just one fight away for Buckley before he sees that UFC title.
Fair enough.
Art Jimerson passed away this past week. All respects to One Glove. He was, and I will say it, was still right for going in there with One Glove, not knowing what to expect at UFC 1.
Yeah, I think if you didn't, this was brand new, Micah. And he packed all the power in that one punch, right?
He knew that his big right hand was hard, and he thought, it's a tournament. If I break it in the first round, how am I going to keep going? But I can't put two gloves on because I need some way to push these guys off or grab them if they try to grab me.
It's funny. No matter what, you'll always remember the One Glove.
You will always remember the One Glove. RIP to him. Shout out to someone that we can call a legend for helping kickstart this wonderful sport. F1 is now more interesting because Van Streppen lost in Miami.
I don't think it's more interesting. So I don't want to say fact to that. How many had he won in a row? 12?
I think we were up to 12. It was at least the last two in Miami. It was just a dominant, something like 17 of the last 18 races.
Yeah, and it was almost like you were just watching to see if he's going to win. You didn't even know who else was in the field because he had dominated that much.
It didn't matter where he started. I've seen him start at sixth and come back to be first. This past weekend, he lost. I think that does make me want to tune in for the next one just a little bit more.
And I'll tell you what, if he loses two in a row, Micah, then I'll definitely watch.
The heat is on in Miami because of Pat Riley turning up the stove.
Not only is he turning up the stove, right? They were talking about holding back and seeing if Donovan Mitchell was available. Then they haven't guaranteed Butler's money yet.
Well, Butler is signed for two more years, but he's already wanting to talk extension, and they're at home way too early in the playoffs for any of their executives to want to talk about anything.
And I think they're waiting to see on Donovan Mitchell. I think that's the one they want to get.
It feels like the Cavs are so Donovan Mitchell-centric that he is going to look to get out of there this offseason. It doesn't look like this is something that he wants to commit to building around.
Although the Cavs won Thursday night, everybody thought Boston would sweep, but the Cavs won Thursday night.
And fact or fiction, that will be their lone win of the series.
Should be.
Should be.
Should be. If they get two, I'll be surprised. And if the T-Wolves sweep the Nuggets, I'll be surprised.
21 points from Evan Mobley. I was surprised. That was the best playoff performance he has had. Fact or fiction, the increased physicality at the NBA midseason has altered the course of this season.
Yeah, for sure. And think about the physicality of the 80s, the physicality of the 70s. They played through it all, Micah.
It's like the Minnesota Timberwolves could feel this coming with the biggest, roughest, toughest team. And this sleek, fast-moving, explosive Denver offense is standing around looking for last year's calls. Like, what happened to the rule book that still has the same black and white written?
Well, that's a great, great statement, Micah. That's not a fact or fiction answer. And I will say this. How about the Indiana Pacers? They kept a chart of 73 non-foul calls against the Knicks. 73 non-foul calls that they felt should have been fouls.
You have two rows of assistant coaches. They have to be doing something during the game.
And they picked up on 73 non-calls?
Mike, there was 142 screens in one game, and somehow two in the final minute were all of a sudden deemed illegal when they looked identical to all the legal ones that Giannis has put on all season.
If they called those 73 fouls sell behind the glass, the game would have ended 2 hours ago. Micah, continue.
Paolo Banchero has established himself, even in losing, as a number one option.
Absolutely.
27-8-4. 8 rebounds and 4 assists for those at home that aren't understanding. Look like the Dookie has taken it the next step to where people wondered, could he be a leader? Could he take a team to that next level? I feel like the Magic should feel assured of that coming away from his performance.
And not just that, Micah. Shout out to Jokic with his third NBA MVP. Shout out to Wembanyama, Rookie of the Year. Shout out to Gobert winning Defensive Player of the Year again. Shout out.
Cavs got one win and they won't get another one. We've already established that. But should they be thankful that they've had, or should we say that they've had a top five playoff performer this year in Donovan Mitchell?
Absolutely. Micah, Donovan Mitchell's an all-star.
50 points one game.
That's what I'm saying. Him and Jalen Brunson, when I watch those two play, it's like, wow, what they're doing. Like, I expect Luka to get 30. I expect Ant-Man to do something spectacular. You know what I mean? I expect Tatum to get his 25. But when Brunson's going for 43 and Mitchell's going for, what did he have the other day? He had 29 the other night. But what was it in game one?
41.
Yeah. I mean, it just, I enjoy watching those two players.
So Donovan Mitchell, Luka, Jalen Brunson, SGA, and Ant, top five playoff performers?
Absolutely.
Fact or fiction?
Fact.
So have we seen a changing of the guard
fact
in the overall top five?
For sure. And Shea can go.
It is a guard league again.
But Luka, to me, Luka makes it look so easy, Micah. Like, so easy. And it's not.
Fact or fiction, like game two, Kyrie has to be the distributor for the Mavs to win this series.
That's a fact.
You have to allow Luka to focus. I don't think he can be looking for other guys' shots. But if Kyrie is able to do it, I think that that's what you saw unlock PJ. That's what has helped Lively, and that is what's helped, oh, Daniel Gafford, my Bulls still. At least I'm getting to see some Bulls in the playoff. Derek Jones Jr., Daniel Gafford, star players, and I always knew it, Mike. Fact or fiction?
Yeah. I mean, Micah, how? Listen, here's the thing. The question, because I want, before we get there, Frank Vogel.
You didn't let me get there.
But go ahead.
Well, fact or fiction, Frank Vogel is a scapegoat of a bad roster management for the second time.
Mike, I can't believe. Here's Vogel who just won the title, what, 3 years ago?
They fired him the next season without any cause because they let KCP and all of those right defenders on the bench walk.
Yeah, but I guess the best news about it gets a $20 million buyout.
Next 4 years, just sit at home, take some kind of ESPN job. Don't coach because at least you're getting paid for it already.
I mean, I guess if they said, here's $20 million and we got to regroup, is Budenholzer taking the job?
That is what all signs are pointing to, and there's also speculation that he's already behind the scenes working to put together his staff. So fact or fiction, Budenholzer won't make a difference in Phoenix.
That's a fact.
That is a fact because of bad roster management. Fact or fiction, Darvin Ham didn't deserve to be fired by the Lakers.
He did not deserve it, Micah.
Because bad roster management. But, Mike, who do you expect to fill that seat?
I think their number one guy, they probably want Ty Lue. That's my guess. I don't know if they can get Ty Lue because he's tied up with the Clippers. I'm sure they're going after Budenholzer. That's my guess. So I'd say those are the top two candidates.
Fact or fiction, LeBron James cannot be player coach.
I would say he should be.
Well, he can't be because if they're struggling, who are they going to fire? You can't fire LeBron and then tell him to just go play power forward still. There might be some resentment.
I would try it. Why not? I would say let's try this. Micah, fact or fiction, great episode. You left everybody perplexed. Sal behind the glass, that's it for fact or fiction. It's Mike Adams, 2.0 ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
Let's get back to Mike Adams, 2.0 on ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team.
Welcome back, Mike Adams, 2.0 ESPN Radio, 101.7, The Team. Micah, just during that little break, someone asked me, how's your allergies? I said, everybody has them.
Kind of itchy right now.
Have you ever seen it this bad?
I have never felt it this bad. I am not seeing it. I am feeling it.
I wonder what it is. Is it the winds that are gusting at 60 miles per hour?
And kicking up all the pollen and throwing it out my sinuses.
I think we found the answer. Just do your best. Hang in there. Allergy season is upon us. Micah, did you see the Tom Brady roast?
There was a Tom Brady roast?
It was probably... They sold out the Forum, I believe. That's where they were in Los Angeles, California. But I didn't expect all that.
I don't know how it was received. I know that there was winners. I know that there was losers. I know that there was one man who was confronted for going off topic.
Well, I think what surprised me the most is how they had a lot of words for Bill Belichick.
Hey, well, Bill Belichick is the one who had already got roasted. Remember, Apple did that to him over seven parts, as he pointed out, well, if you haven't seen that documentary.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about. Tom Brady, the GOAT, and they all went there to support him. There was a lot of New England Patriots in the building.
There was a lot of Patriots in the building. You saw Gronk there, I believe. I don't know if Danny Amendola was there or if he was just there in spirit.
No, he was there.
Belichick.
Edelman.
The core, the teammates were there. You saw UFC personalities. You saw what it felt like the revival of Saturday Night Live or Comedy Central roast with all the classics.
The Tom Brady roast. Micah, let's continue. I want to switch gears. And this one, next, since Canelo fought up and through July, we're going to have Cambosis. After that, we get Usyk against Tyson Fury, and then after that, we get Tyson Jake Paul. Like, they're just lining them up for us this year.
And I believe come August is where you get Terrence Crawford in Los Angeles. So it just keeps on rolling. The schedule is there, and hopefully the fights come out. Did you see the new trailer for Usyk versus Fury?
I have not.
You got to see it. They transport, they teleport, they go from a showdown, being Old West cowboys, to being samurais, to being video game characters. There is no expense wasted in the movie production of this trailer. You want to talk about getting you hyped for a fight? This is a spectacle. I know that you don't just like something ordinary, something plain. You need that extra.
I do.
Well, this is extra, extra, with extra on the side.
I have a question for you, Micah. Someone asked me this, and whenever they ask me, I'm always fascinated. So they said, who is the best of the best in this category? So these are the names, and I want you to rank them. And Sal behind the glass, I really want you to listen to this. Jean-Claude Van Damme, right? Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, Jackie Chan. And who are we leaving out?
Is there a Chet Lee maybe in
there? No, there's one more.
Steven Seagal.
And they said, out of those five, rank them. I said, I can't. Everybody's going to say Bruce Lee, right? Bruce Lee won. What would make you say that? Like, what would make you think Bruce Lee could beat Chuck Norris straight up?
Master against student?
Okay.
Quite literally?
I'm with that. Jean-Claude Van Damme, where do you put him?
I don't know how actually effective, real world effective, his martial arts style. If we're just going for him as a movie star, I got him as two. If we're going in a martial artist sense, I probably have him five in this category. I might have him five. I don't know. I don't know. Jackie Chan starts throwing fridges at you, and the fight changes when he's opening doors, when he's able to use a desk.
That's a good point.
If we're doing this in a convenience store, you know Jackie Chan has a huge, huge advantage.
For sure. And who has the quickness of Jackie Chan out of those guys I just mentioned?
And Steven Seagal probably has the power. Come on. And he has the real world. I got him at least at three because I got a lot of faith in the speed of Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. You understand what I'm saying? It's hard to hit fast. But also, we're talking about Seagal. He knows this. He trained Anderson Silva.
So you're going three. You're going Bruce Lee one.
Bruce Lee one.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, too.
Well, if we're just talking about movie stardust.
Well, let's just, where would you rank?
Well, what is the actual question? Are just we just ranking them in five... awesomeness? Are we ranking them as movie stars or martial arts?
They didn't ask me that question. I just told you what they rank
them. All right, so I guess I got to put them full together. Everything. So yeah, one is Bruce Lee.
Okay.
Two, you are right. I'm going Van Damme.
Okay.
Three, I do have
Seagal. You said.
Four will be Chuck Norris. And five would be Jackie Chan.
Sal, you're agreeing with that list? Who do you have at one, Sal? Bruce Lee. And then at two? You just heard Sal's list.
No respect for Hard to Kill.
Jackie Chan and Van Damme 4-5. Yeah. Jackie Chan at five, you said? Three, Jackie Chan. Me, here's my list. One, Bruce Lee, tied with Chuck Norris. I don't think Chuck Norris is getting enough respect in this discussion with the two of you.
I can put it, we can redo mine and put him at two. It's so close.
I'm just going to say Chuck Norris isn't getting respect in this conversation. Chuck, let me be the one to give respect to this conversation. Bruce Lee, Chuck Norris, one. I'm going to go Seagal at, well, he would actually be three, but we'll call him two. And then I would have Jackie Chan and Van Damme tied for three.
Just really don't like Lionheart.
There's no number five with me.
You don't like Lionheart. You don't care that he was a French legionnaire.
I'm just hoping that whoever asked me that question is listening right now. There's your answer. Five different ones.
Micah, you can tell what movies I watched every Saturday on USA and TBS growing up as a kid, and that's why he's two for me.
Well, you're talking Van Damme, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, he did have some great movies.
Time Cop.
You know, also don't
Street Fighter.
Seagal's movies were all pretty similar, right? He went and saved the day at the end of the day. Like Seagal had that, where Chuck Norris, he had different movies. Bruce Lee's movies were different. And Jackie Chan's were usually comedies. Fair?
And for us younger generation, you kind of just associate Chuck Norris as Walker.
Yeah.
The original sure. Texas Ranger.
That's fair. Let's continue, Michael. Let's get off this subject.
Well, actually, you bring up another subject to me that I got to continue because I heard somebody say it and I don't know it. We've already went in close enough to calling Ant a Kobe, a Michael Jordan, but is his athleticism almost to the point where we could make him the sports Chuck Norris?
No, that's going too far.
That's too far to say Anthony Edwards could wake up in the morning and outrun a cheetah.
Can't outrun. I don't know. I'm going to say no. But here's the thing, Micah. I don't know if the man's practiced mixed martial arts. He could be a black belt and something, and I'm mistalking, and I don't want to do that. Can he outrun a cheetah? I don't know. Look, Michael Phelps outswam a shark, didn't he? Didn't Michael Phelps swim against a shark?
He did swim against the shark. I don't even remember if he won. Just like I think the horse did beat Usain Bolt.
Right? Like, listen to what you're saying. Like, you just saw the Kentucky Derby. When they come off that turn, ain't nobody beating a horse, Michael.
Well, what about Austin Rivers' take this week? You could take 30 guys from the NBA and put them in the NFL, but you couldn't take 30 guys from the NFL and put them in the NBA.
I disagree. I bet you there's 30 guys in the NFL right now that could play in the NBA.
I first thought was Debo. Right away, I'm like,
for sure.
oh, there's some wide receivers out there. And we're just talking about, did you ever see the pedigrees of like a Brandon Marshall and a Randy Moss before? Did you know that Julius Peppers started at North Carolina before he was a defensive end? I don't know if the NFL players are getting enough fair treatment in that conversation.
And people always, I've always said this, Micah. We'll talk about Zach Gentry for a moment. I saw him play high school basketball, and I always thought, this kid can make it to the NBA. I firmly believed it. Like, he was that good. He ends up in the NFL. Tony Gonzalez, I think, could have played in the NBA. Terrence Mathis, I think, could have played in the NBA. I've seen some. Terrell Owens could have played in the NBA.
Terrell Owens could have done anything he wanted to do at his prime. And another question then to pile it on, is Ant in that level? I know he played both sports in high school.
For sure.
Do you think he could transition?
Absolutely. Him and LeBron would be dangerous in the NFL.
Did you see LeBron? Have you seen him in the bubble with the basketball? They threw it up right in the corner, the catch. He was working on the toe tap.
Anthony Edwards, I'm trying to think, Micah, the last basketball player that transcended the way he's transcending. And I know what you're saying with the athleticism. You see Jordan, you see Kobe. For me right now, it's just hard to put him in that category.
His expectations, to me at least, he's already past that level where Penny was. Because Penny had Shaq. And right now, I think the dominance, the offensive assertiveness that you're seeing from Edwards, I think we're not in the Kobe Jordan spear, but Penny is some pretty hollowed ground for what he was doing in the 90s.
And I'm a Penny Hardaway guy. I was always a fan of Penny. I couldn't put him with Penny right now today. Now, is eventually going to surpass Penny? Yes.
Could he do it if he takes this team to the finals?
Absolutely.
See, that's the kind of trajectory. I'm not saying it's there, but we can see the gates opening to the promised land of where this guy's potential could take us. It's the same thing that you're seeing with Luka. It's the same thing that you can't believe you're seeing with Brunson. There's guys that are knocking on the door that it feels like they are dragging their teams to a next level.
Did you ever expect DiVincenzo to go for 28 the other night?
If the Knicks falter in this playoffs, which I fully expect them to do, Tom Thibodeau has got to get a counselor to help him trust more. Because I don't know how many trust falls we got to do for him to play more than six dudes, because he ran OG Anunoby into that hamstring injury, and Josh Hart is the most incredible cardio machine in the NBA, playing 48 minutes a game.
Here's the other thing. I like the Knicks to maybe win the East. The way they've been playing,
I am worried because they're losing a player every other game, and I don't even know if we have a starting five by the time they get to the Celtics. But can they struggle through the Pacers? The Pacers are such a lackadaisical defensive roster, and Haliburton does not look right. He is a step behind, and his hamstring is still messed up from earlier in the season. He's playing cautiously to just be there for his team, but it makes a difference that he is not a force for his team.
Mike, I want to ask you this. There was a couple of fines levied, right? Jamal Murray got a fine. I believe the Pacers coach got a fine for blasting the referees. Is like $35,000 too low? Murray was what, $100,000? Is that too low?
$100,000 for throwing a heating pad and a towel on the floor. He should have been kicked out of the game, but then he would have been suspended the next game. So he's not an all-star, but the Nuggets got a little assist there from the NBA. $100,000 sounds right. $35,000 feels fine, because you almost got to find the guys that make the two-minute reports. Who is this helping, and where did it come from? We will acknowledge our mistakes, but that does not help us move forward or backwards.
It's just tough to be a referee. Is that the toughest job in America?
It's at least the most scrutinized.
Well,
in athletics.
In athletics, and the most vocal. Everybody has an opinion.
Right, well, umpires will have an opinion even if you don't say anything.
But that I put umpires, I put referees, they're all managing a game. They're policing a game. Is that fair?
They are the overseers. They are supposed to keep control.
And that might be the toughest job. You know, every time they list the toughest jobs, I never seen referee on there.
I would pretend like I wasn't understanding Luka and just walk away. Have you seen the second best activity that he has besides taking the ball, creating his own offense, is badgering the referees.
Here's the other thing. I think the referees deserve more money. Anybody ever said that? How come nobody ever says, you know what, that officiating crew deserves more money?
They deserve more money, and for the NBA, they probably deserve an extra man on the court.
Do you go four-man rotation?
I would like to see four, where you have the sideline officials moving vertically, and then you have one guy hoop to hoop, because there are the breakaway fouls. Those are those, let's say you're picking a little bit, cherry picking. There is that official just in case you get hacked at that end. I would like to see it just be covered in all four bases.
Just think, way back in the day, there was one referee.
How hard was that for him? Imagine the miles and the cardio shape he was in. That's like Josh Hart level.
Josh Hart, incredible, Micah. Let's continue.
I got to know from you if we've seen the last gasp of greatness from Mike Trout. Three straight seasons, injuries just unfortunately keep plaguing a man who looked destined to be known as one of the all-time greats in the game.
If Mike Trout played in New York or for the Dodgers, Micah, not for the Angels, Mike Trout would go into the category of Babe Ruth, Ty Cobb, Ted Williams. You know, he would be folklore while still playing. That's how good Mike Trout is.
He is so good, but unfortunately, there's an inability to manage the roster, the theme of the day, and the Angels have not been able to capitalize on his greatness. We saw that Shohei couldn't do it, and now, unfortunately, the injuries are starting to mount up, and I'm very worried that we've seen the best from this great.
Micah, they would have talked about him like Sandy Koufax, Ty Cobb. You know, he was that type of player. Like, his baseball card would have been worth just as much as Honus Wagner.
We know that Mike Adams went with Steve Garvey as his favorite baseball player of all time. He didn't go with just the biggest name on the field.
Nope.
He went with the guy that he liked the most. So I'm guessing from this group right now, Teoscar Hernandez might be your favorite Dodger.
Oh, my goodness.
10 home runs. Talk about coming out from the darkness to just make an impact with this team. If it's not bad enough that they have the best three hitters in baseball.
Well, if they don't win the World Series, see, you bring this up, and then we get our hopes high, Micah. I've been trying to lay low right here, right? They're going to win 110 games, and then you're going to tell me playoffs are starting. See, I don't want to go down this road so early. September's a long time away. We're in May.
Bueller returned, Mike.
I know.
You don't want to get excited. Mike, I'm in my Yankees hat, my Yankee shirt the other day at a pizza parlor. Guy stops me. I love the Yankees. Look at this season. Look at Soto. Look at Judge. I said, yeah, we're doing good, man. Hopeful. No, you got to be excited, he tells me. It's a good team. You have to get hyped now. It's going to be a beautiful summer for you baseball fans.
I want to know what kind of pizza you got that day.
Oh, it's me. I go with the classic, Mike. You got to just get some plain cheese every so often.
You know what? That's me. Just give me a plain cheese slice.
You know, you go to a new parlor, you're like, I just want to try the base. I want to know what the dough is like, what the sauce is like. I don't need to overwhelm it with the extra ingredients because I need to know what the foundation was built on.
You know, that I said it earlier. Okay, now I'm going to say it again. Chuck Norris wasn't getting the respect from the both of you that I thought he deserved. And then now, the cheese pizza gets no respect. I'm going to be the one to say it. Just a slice of cheese. It's like, when I go in there and I say, hey, I'll just take the slice of cheese. You don't want, what are your toppings? Slice of cheese. And then everybody in line looks at you. I just want a slice of cheese. But it's so underrated and so simplistic that everybody freaks out that it's not, you know, pepperoni, green chili. Keep going, Micah.
Did you freak out Wednesday night? No, excuse me. Thursday night. That might have been the greatest 5 minutes of hockey I have ever seen from the Vancouver Canucks. 3 goals in under 5 minutes.
Micah, you wish hockey could be like that every once in a while.
Every once in a while. These playoffs, you get the essence.
For sure.
You get the feeling. The Rangers. New York is a buzz like they haven't been since Eli Manning was under center. Right now, playoffs in the garden, back-to-back nights, no matter what the sport is, this is the biggest buzz in the Big Apple and forever. And the Rangers I think are more likely to make a finals than the Knicks.
No, I like the Knicks, Micah.
I like the Rangers. There's a grit. There's a tenacity. There's a team that's playing fast, playing hard, and playing together.
Caitlin Clark in an exhibition game, 13,000 people show up.
Aja Wilson, first WNBA athlete to lock down a Gatorade.
Congratulations. 13,000 in an exhibition game, WNBA.
It's happening, Mike. Toronto, the next destination, just awarded a franchise, not to mention Golden State, two more franchises, WNBA expansion. We're in the preseason, and there's 13,000 people. Preseason, people. The regular season's going to be something. Does the NBA and WNBA need to do something a little more now to coordinate the schedule?
Yeah, for sure. And get some cities where you can see both of them in the same day.
You need to make the back-to-back. And I also heard, would it be a good idea to rebrand almost the WNBA? It would be like the Pacers, or almost so like it was the college thing, how you had the Lady Cardinals. Should the WNBA franchise take that from their brother-in franchises in the same city?
Well, here's the other thing going back to this, Micah, because I think marketing-wise, you could do some pretty cool things. But I think this is going to explode.
It is time, and you saw the new generation that's coming in, not to mention this juggernaut that you already have established in Las Vegas, the buzz that Sabrina Ionescu had already, don't forget her, as right. Caitlin Clark is coming in, what she was able to do just at the All-Star game, and she has a signature shoe, you're starting to see the corner turn for the WNBA to become prominent.
Michael, you've seen some of my sneakers. Right? And I'm going to get those shoes. I just haven't been able to get out and get a pair. But I want a pair of those. They look sleek, but I want to see how they fit.
It's always about how they fit. I LaMelo Ball shoes, kind of flashy, kind of great, kind of fit weird. You got to look out there, though. It's a whole new WNBA world. And I think that Mike's finally finding some favorite shoes to replace the Federers.
I know. And I still have them, Micah. And I still wear them. But I haven't been able to play tennis. It's been too windy. And there's something called allergies in the air. Yeah, he liked that. Hey, right on cue, Sal. Did you hear him? If anything, this man knows his cues.
My allergies.
Sal, I think this was a great show. I'm excited for what's coming in the future. Michael Frankel, tell everybody where they can find you.
CageMinds.com is the website. Today, later, for the BKFC 61 main card and the UFC Fight Night St. Louis card, we'll be live hanging out on the YouTube channel, so check that out at CageMinds_CSN. That's the same way you can find me across the rest of social media.
You're going to have some big news in the next couple of weeks. I know that for a fact. We're going to be busy.
You mean like Top Rank Boxing, August 10th, Angelo Leo fighting for a world title at Tingley Coliseum, and June 8th, Donald Sanchez headlining a boxing card at Isleta. CageMinds.com for all the details, guys.
Good to see Angelo coming home. Sal behind the glass, thank you, Joe Neal, the president. For Alyssa Rye, President John Michael, don't forget, go to the Instagram at MikeAdams2.0, Apple and Spotify podcast. It's MikeAdams2.0, ESPN Radio, 101.7, The T.
Thanks for joining us for Mike Adams 2.0. Join us again next Saturday, 9 to 10, on your New Mexico-owned and operated station, ESPN Radio 101.7 The Team.